settings, and we can worship you in one. Lord, may your Holy Spirit synchronize me and the congregation, and may we study the scripture and get the message all together. And Lord, please be with us, and also blessing our worship, and blessing each one of us. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. Before I read the preaching scripture, I'd like to know the outline of today's sermon. So basically, there are five parts. Go back, please. Yes. Okay. There is a little section called prelude. So then I will put the scripture, incorporate the scripture with my preaching as a whole. The prelude is about to getting connect with you, because I usually don't speak up aloud, and everybody is busy. So as a pastor, I really like to connect to each one of you, and because this is what community mean to me. And so when I prepare this sermon, I like to open a little bit window and let you see when I prepare the sermon, what's the journey I went on. So when I prepare the sermon, I close my eyes and imagine you sitting in front of me. I watch in your eyes and you watch me. And then I feel the weight, Lord, entrust you, your ear to me for next 20 to 30 minutes. On the other hand, I also feel the weight, Lord, entrust his word to me to handle it correctly. And then I can deliver the message according to his will, not according to what my understanding or my thought. So this is my prelude. I really wish I can find some story to warm up the environment, but I'm sorry, I'm that kind of preacher, so please bear with me. Okay, now today the sermon will have four parts: introduction, exegesis. Exegesis means what's the meaning, what's the scripture meaning towards the original readers or original audience. Then application, that means what we can derive from the passage, and then the principle we derive from there and apply to our life. And finally, we will have a conclusion. So for the introduction, I'm going to read Daniel chapter 9, verse 1-19. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scripture according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ash. I prayed to the Lord, my God, and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who loved him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have been rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servant, the prophets, who spoke your name to our kings, our prince, our ancestors and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we're covered with shame. The people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where we have been scattered, you have been scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. We and our kings, our prince, and our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we have sinned against you. The Lord, our God, is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or keep the law he gave us through his servant, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and the sworn judgment written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, has been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us, against our rulers, by bringing us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come on us. Yet, we have not sought the favor of the Lord, our God, by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster on us, for the Lord, our God, is righteous in everything he does. Yet, we have not obeyed him. Now, Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with mighty hand, and who made yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned. We have done wrong. Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sin and the iniquity of our ancestor has been made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our Lord, hear the prayer and the petition of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our Lord, and hear, open your eyes and see desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make a request of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my Lord, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. This is the words of God. And when Daniel prayed to the Lord, that's his prayer. And today in the exegesis part, we will go through three parts. So the first part, we're going to look at Daniel's prayer through historical context. Second, we're going to see the meaning, each verse by verse, the meaning to our original reader. And the third, we're going to see the meaning of Daniel's prayer from a literary analysis. This is our exegesis part. So the first part, historical context. Honestly, we don't know what exactly year when Daniel made this prayer. But we do know chapter 9 happened in between the fall of Jerusalem and return to Jerusalem. So what happened in between from the fall of Jerusalem to return to Jerusalem? Kingdom of Judah got destroyed by kingdom of Babylon. And then Babylon, the king of Babylon took everybody from Jerusalem and in the kingdom of Judea and to their kingdom. And then Babylon got replaced by Mede and Persia. And in the very first king of Persian Empire, King Cyrus got decreed to ask all the Jews or Israelites, they can return to Jerusalem. This is what roughly happened during the historical background setting for chapter 9. And now let's go back verse by verse and see what they exactly mean when the original reader heard Daniel's prayer. So verse 1, in the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, the Mede, who was made the ruler of Babylonia kingdom. So the Darius, that king, make perfect sense to the original audience because they know who Daniel talk about. They knew exactly what happened in their period. But there is a difficulty for us. Until today, we don't know. We cannot know for sure who this Darius, son of Xerxes. Because the historian, they cannot find a figure to fit in there. So, as today's reader, don't confuse this Darius with the Darius in Book of Ezra. But don't lose your faith. There is a good news. When you read the Book of Daniel, you will hear the last king of Babylon, his name Belshazzar. This guy, nobody believed actually was a historical figure until 1854. Because this king only exists in Book of Daniel. And Xenophon, a Greek historian, there is no architect. So there is no such evidence can prove that the Belshazzar, the king, actually exists before 1854. So as for now, we know Lord still remains, make this Darius, it's still a mixed figure, but we will have faith. Eventually we will discover who he is because God's words never fail. So second verse, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scripture according to the words of God given to Jeremiah the prophet, the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. When the original audience hear the number 70 years, it will strike to their nerve. Why? Because they must learn that Jeremiah, in his book, he wrote, this whole land will be desolation and horror. This land will serve king of Babylon 70 years. Then it will be when 70 years are complete, I will punish the king of Babylon and the nation, declare the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of Chaldean, and I will make it an everlasting desolation. So people will read, the original reader hear this, they know exactly what the 70 years means. It's like a bell says, now it's time to go home. That's what it means to them, the 70 years. And then in verse 3, Daniel says, I turned to the Lord and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and sackcloth and ash. When they hear this, as a diaspora in foreign country, as a second-class citizen in a foreign country, they will be grateful. They will be grateful and amen. There is a righteous man who pray for them, who pray for their deliverance and salvation. Because they know in Proverb, numerous times since they are young, they hear this. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. They know that. And they know Daniel is a blameless person, is a righteous person. In verse 4 and 5, it says, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God, who keep his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandment. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. When the original reader, they hear the words commands and covenant, they would remember Deuteronomy. That's their Torah. That's their law. This is their foundation of their faith. This will remember, bring them their memory, their ancestor through Abraham to their generation, the covenant God has been made for them. And the covenant is the foundation that Daniel and anybody can pray over God's promise. In verse 6, it says, we have not listened to your servant, the prophet, who spoke in your name to your king, to our king, our prince, and our ancestor, and to the prophets, to the people of the land. When they hear not listen to your servant, the prophets, they would recall how their fathers treat God's servant and the prophets, especially those noblemen and older people. They would remember what their father has done to the prophets. In the book of Isaiah, it says this, they say to seers, prophets, see no more vision. And the two prophets gave us no more vision of what is right. This is their father, say to prophets. Tell us pleasant things. Prophecy, illusions. Leave this way, get off this path, and stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel. I think this is a very polite words because this is NIV. Probably the original words will be much worse than that. And in Jeremiah, what's Jeremiah's experience? The Jeremiah experience, the prophets and the priests and the prophets and all the people hear the Jeremiah speak these words in the house of the Lord. But as soon as Jeremiah finished telling all the people everything the Lord has commanded him to say, the priests, the prophets, and all the people seized him and say, you must die. And they say, they continue, why do you prophesy in the Lord's name? This house will be Shilon, and this city will be desolate and desert. And all the people crowd around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. So basically, they tell Jeremiah, stop saying Lord's word, go and die. Otherwise, we will make you die. This is how they treat the prophets. Now, Daniel, bring their memory back. We are not listening to your prophets while they are still there and saying to us, which is to simply turn, close our ear and turn our back. Worse, we threaten their life. And the verse 7 says, Lord, you are righteous. Yes, Lord, we're right. We're wrong. You are right. But this day, we're covered with shame. We deserve it. The people of Judea and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, and in the countries where you have scattered us because our unfaithfulness to you. We and our kings, our princes, our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we have sinned against you. When they heard, scattered us. This is a very, very critical moment to strike their heart. As Samuel just read in Deuteronomy, Lord already warning them hundreds of years ago, if you do not obey my commandment, follow my law, you will be scattered. And as a Jewish, I believe until today, when they gather in their synagogue, or back in the original time when they hear Daniel's message, and they already know what is in the Torah. I mean, Torah means law. I mean, the first five books of Bible. And they know, Lord will scatter us among the people if we do not follow his command, if we turn away from the Lord. But they also will remember in Deuteronomy, after Lord condemned them, there is a hope. Listen to this. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 27. The Lord will scatter you among all the people, and only a few you will survive among the nations which Lord will drive you. There you will worship a man-made god of wood, stone, which cannot see or hear or eat or smell. 29. But, if from there you seek Lord your God, you will find him. If you seek him with all your heart, with all your soul, when you are in the distress and all the things have happened to you, in the later day you will return to the Lord your God and obey him. There is always hope in the covenant. They tell themselves, let's keep listening. What's Daniel's next message? Daniel continue pray. The Lord our God is merciful. Even though we have rebelled against you and we have not obeyed the Lord our God or keep the law he gave us through his servants and prophets, all Israel has transgressed your law and turned away. And until, so I skip a few verses, and until verse 14. Daniel prayed, the Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster upon us, for the Lord, our God, is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. When they heard, the Lord is righteous in everything he does, the priest, or especially the priest and the religious leaders, if they are very familiar with Psalms, they would remember King David in Psalm 51 say this, Against you, you alone, have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. So King David affirmed them. When Lord judges us, Lord doesn't owe us any sorry. It we looking for trouble by ourselves. Because Lord, in everything he does, is righteous. This is the truth. No matter how hurt we feel when Lord disciplines us, we should repent rather than confront the Lord, say, hey, Lord, why do you bring this hard situation to us? Because every time we start to put ourselves in trouble. Then in verse 15, now, Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned, we have done wrong. Then from this verse until verse 18, in verse 18, Daniel prayed and urged the Lord. He says, give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests because we're righteous, but because you great mercy. When the original audience hear this word, we do not make quest because we are righteous, but because your great mercy. They would immediately recall Moses' word. They would also remember how they defiled the land so badly that the land vomited them out. Literally vomited them out. Consequently, they become the captivity and they were forced to exile. In Deuteronomy, it says this, do not say in your heart, when your Lord, your God, has driven them, that means the seven races in Canaan, before you, do not say it to your heart, because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me into possession this land, but it's because the wickedness of these nations that the Lord has dispossessing them before you. It is not for your righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart that you are going to possess this land, but it is because the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God is driving them out before you in order to confirm the oaths which the Lord swore to your father, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Know then, it's not because your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stubborn people. We are too. Remember, we do not forget how you provoke the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that you left the land of Egypt until you arrived at this place. You have been rebellious against the Lord. They will also remember in Leviticus chapter 18, say this, do not defile yourself in any of these way. Actually, you can check in Leviticus 18. I feel uncomfortable to read out in worship time. You can go. I strongly urge you to check out those chapter, and you will know what he's talking about. Because this is how the nation I'm going to drive out before you became you become defiled. Even the land was defiled, so I punish it for its sins, and the land vomited out its inhabitants. That's the original word from the Lord. And then in verse 28, it says this, if you defile the land, it will vomit you out as it vomited out the nations that war before you. And I think those original audience, if they ever hear the book of Amos, they will remember how Amos accused them in Amos chapter 2, verse 7. I'm sorry, I feel it's really inappropriate to read here, but I urge you to read this verse back home, and you will see how corrupt and how sinful was the people against the Lord. Okay, so we quickly went through verse by verse. I'm sorry, it's a bit long. And now we just do a very quick literature analysis. So from verse 1 to verse 19, basically we can see there are patterns in Daniel's prayer. The first one, in verse 4, from verse 4 to verse 6, it basically the pattern is like this. The first pattern reminds who the Lord is and his covenant with us, and confess our sins and what we have done to breach the covenant. From verse 4 to verse 6, the first time repeat this pattern. From verse 7 to verse 8, Daniel repeats this pattern again. Remember who Lord is and the Lord covenant with us and what is our current situation. Then confess what we have done to breach the covenant and what was the God's judgment on us according to his covenant. Then third time, he repeats this pattern from verse 9 to verse 14. And remember who Lord was and who Lord is and the Lord's covenant with us. Confess what we have done to breach the covenant and what was Lord's judgment upon us. Finally, from verse 15 to verse 19, this is a very important of second portion of Daniel's prayer. This is how Daniel pleaded with God to deliver and save us. In other simpler words, Daniel pray over God's promise. Lord, you promise you love us, you will save us, and now I'm going to claim your promise. And then Daniel affirmed what the Lord has done for us in history, all of his love and all of the covenant. Not because we deserve Lord's deliverance and salvation, but because the Lord's mercy and grace out of his steadfast love. So, from verse 9 to verse 19, if we can cut half, the half will be verse 15. From verse 1 to 15, repeat the three patterns. Remember who God is, and what is God's covenant with us, how we sinned against God, and what God's judgment, and confess. From verse 15 to 19, remember, claim, pray over Lord's prayer, because we are your people. We have a covenant. Yes, we sinned, we confess, but Lord, please save us. Please fulfill your promise. This is how he prayed over the promise, based on what? Based on Lord's character and the Lord's covenant. So this is the message, to original people, and hopefully I illustrated the meaning of the message to you. And the next section will be relatively small, the application part. My application part is short because I only gave out some principle. Everybody have a unique life. I hope those principles you can bring back and apply to your life. I don't want to give a detail like instruction. The first application we can draw from Daniel's prayer, that was a foundation. The foundation. The foundation of how we can pray over God's promise. What is a foundation? The foundation is God covenant. But we may ask a further question. What is a foundation? Why God risk himself to make covenant with we, the sinful people? The answer is out of his steadfasting love and his grace and his mercy. That is the foundation. With this foundation, Jesus Christ made a new covenant for us. Remember, when Daniel and his original audience, when they heard the covenant, God's love, the covenant referred to Abrahamic covenant. The covenant made with Abraham and the covenant, the covenant made through Moses, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. We as a Christian, we are not only inherited all the blessings from the Old Covenant, we also have the New Covenant, which made by our Lord, God's only Son, Jesus Christ's blood. You go home and think, how blessed we are as a Christian. So remember those foundations. Those foundations is the only foundation we can pray over God's promise. Otherwise, there is no way, no foundation we can even come close to God. The second one is at the individual level. At the individual level, when we pray, there are many, many, many ways you can pray. But one thing we can get, one way to pray we get from Daniel's prayer is like we remember God's character. We remember God's covenant. And we confess our sin specifically. Don't just say, oh, God, I'm sorry, and please bless me. That's no. Daniel specifically says what they have done wrong against God, and then repent through affirming God's judgment upon us is righteous. Stop complaining. Do not like Israel in the desert. Pray over his promise, then pray over his promise for deliverance and salvation. And then after that, keep in mind, God will fulfill his promise in his time and in his way. Have a heart of obey and trust and submission. The third and the last application is intercede for others and keeping the relationship with the Lord. You can see from book of Daniel, first of all, he's a blameless person. He's a righteous person. And from a secular perspective, he has a very, very successful life and a very successful career. He has been very high official rank in the monarch government. So he's only a few people directly under king. So he has a very successful life. But yet, he counts himself as one of we. We, that's who against God, who sinned against God, even though he's blameless, and he counts as one of we. So as today's Christian, we should intercede, sorry, Rick, I forgot to mention that. Intercede, that means you pray on behalf of somebody. You are interceding between two parties. In this case, God and the people. I jumped to another quick topic. When I prepared this, and Pastor Rick mentioned, Abe, don't use the big words. And I explained to Pastor Rick, I said, Pastor Rick, that's the only word I know. I mean, because English is my second language, so when I learn English, usually I remember whatever the words I encounter first. So when I learn about a prayer, intercede, a supplication, those words are the very first words I learn. So I use it naturally. It's not I try to make my sermon looks more intelligent or, no, that's totally not the case. I just use the word I know. So, okay, jump back. So as a Christian, as a people, when we pray, we not only pray for ourselves, we pray for the people, we are one of them. Like we pray for the inhabitant of Ottawa or Ontario or Canada or even North America. Many things we can pray, and we know we have sinned against God. Our society has done that a lot. So as a Christian, we have this responsibility to do as Daniel does, as Daniel did, pray, intercede for our people, because we're one of them. On the other hand, I also like to urge some Christian, I say directly, do not rely on other Christian to intercede for you. I often hear this saying in church says, hey, brother or sister, da la da la da la, or pastor, can you pray for me, and or something like that. Definitely, we love pray for you. But the better yet, you need to keep your personal relationship with the Lord. Like Israel people, they cannot just rely on Daniel pray or intercede for them. They must confess their sin to God and return to God one by one. Similarly, we love to pray for you, but yourself must have your personal relationship through prayer with the Lord. This is very important. All right, so now my sermon reached to the conclusion part. Thank you for bearing with me. And the conclusion is very simple. You can forget whatever I say if you can only remember a few key words. Pray over God's promise. Foundation is His love and the covenant with us. Confess and repent. And intercede. If you can remember those words and apply to life, give praise to the Lord. Thank you.